Great to meet you all. I didn't know who would be here. I don't know if I'd know anybody. Ross and Marianne and I have connected in the past. I'm talking a little bit sluggishly. I've had the hiccups for 11 days. So they will, my words will be interspersed with hiccups. So I hope that doesn't bother you, but I'm glad to be here. Do you have the app on your phone that has my outline on it and everything? But let me say a few words about myself. Randy Marshall, do any of you know Randy Marshall? He's the guy, I think, who got me here this morning. I have a ministry called Finishing Well Ministries. And Legacy is doing a lot of what our Finishing Well ministry focus is all about. Our focus is to help seniors fulfill God's plan in their latter years. God has a plan for us at any age, and it is to fulfill His plan in our lives. So as you age, you ask, well, what is God's plan for me now? And it is just as significant at your age as it was when you were 20, 30, 40, or any previous age. In fact, I really do believe the last years are the best years of life, because you add onto everything God has done in your past, and He wants to multiply your life. So that's what I do. A little bit about my story. I was born in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Became a Christian in my home at a young age, age of six. Trust Christ, and I've tried to walk with Him ever since. Went to high school in Hershey. Led a campus life club, which is like, you know, what's the word down here?
Crew or something.
Young life. Yes. I went to Taylor University in Indiana. It's a private Christian arts college. You went to Taylor?
I went to Cedarville, but I'm from Indiana.
Okay. Well, we got their daughter went to Taylor.
Okay, yeah.
Anyways, I loved it. God used it marvelously to me in my life. It's quick. I mean, I think this is important to grab as you talk about Legacy. I wanted to be a politician in Washington, D.C. My goal was really, if I could have picked one, would be a senator from Pennsylvania. I worked with some people in Washington, D.C., but I felt I needed more theological underpinnings in my life. Even though I was a strong Christian, went to Bible, studied the scriptures well. I felt I needed seminary. So I went to a seminary in Philadelphia called Eastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I didn't like it because it was too liberal. I thought it was a good seminary. But I dropped out and went to Haiti as a summer missionary the following year. It would have been 1972. And I met a missionary who convinced me I should come to Dallas Seminary. I'd never even considered it. In fact, I had dismissed it for a number of reasons. let me get my coffee here. Anyways, I met a missionary who convinced me I should come to Dallas, and it changed my life. I came to Dallas Seminary 50 years ago, this past fall. And the upshot is I married my wife. She was from here. We settled here. We had three kids here. Now we have six grandkids. I started my ministry at First Baptist Church, Dallas, under W.A. Criswell. I was teaching physicians and dentists. It's crazy. Long story. The only point there is I didn't want to do that. And they said, Hal, God has called you to this, and we're going to wait until you say yes. So I finally said yes, and that's what I did for 6 years. That launched me into another 16-year ministry with an organization called the Christian Medical and Dental Society. It's a national organization of physicians, dentists, medical, and dental students. Did that for 16 years, then I left and pastored Dallas Bible Church right up the road here on Hillcrest and Arapahoe. I pastored there for almost 22 years. Left there and launched this ministry. So I'm 74 now, grandkids, looking back over my life. So this idea of legacy really captures my mind. It does. So that's a little bit about myself. So let me take you through a couple... I want to take you through a couple scriptures, first of all. Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of one's death is better than the day of one's youth. Let me ask you a question. We're going to write. What makes a day of one's death better than the day of one's birth? What does the day of one's death have to do about legacy? How well you end.
Spiritually, emotionally, the lives you impact.
Now, I'm going to be bold here. What's your age?
62.
You know, so, I mean, that really pinpoints it. The lives you impact. What else would you say?
How well you end spiritually, emotionally.
How well you end spiritually, emotionally. Why is that important? I mean, that's really part of your legacy, isn't it?
Well, you hope you've invested well.
You hope you've invested well.
Yeah. We pray that's, you know, that's the goal of your life, to invest well in your children, grandchildren, and those that aren't your children and grandchildren. But
So to do this, what do you have to do? Do what?
You have to communicate and live out your faith. Mm-hmm. You have to set the example.
It also means you have to know what it is God wants you to be, mm-hmm, as intentionally as possible in these latter years. So he wants you to be at the top of your game, spiritually. And all that means. What's your purpose? What's your mission? So when you, tell me your name.
Lalani.
So Lalani, when you die, whatever age it is, you want to live that last day having been at the top of your game for these past, if you lived 82 or 92, you got 30 more years. And generally speaking, what does retirement mean in our world?
Taking it easy.
Coasting.
Reaping. I mean, really.
Reaping the rewards of your labor.
Reaping the rewards of your labor. It's your time to enjoy life, which is good. But I would even argue the greatest enjoyment anyone will ever have is being at the top of their game spiritually. That is really the joy of life. The joy of life is not your accomplishments. The joy of life, you know, I could point to 1,000 things I've done. What did Paul say in Ephesians 3 or Philippians 3? I want to forget what's in the past. It's not that it doesn't matter. It's not that it doesn't mean anything. But you know, the real opportunity is what's ahead. I want to press on. He said that in a jail cell in Rome when he was in his mid-60s. He said, I want to press on. So he saw that vision out there that God has for us. That's why I love this verse. A good name is better than a precious ointment. What does your name mean? What does your name bring back? Yeah, you know, I think of my own life a little bit. Just two examples out of my own home. My father died at 52. He died of kidney cancer. He left an impact on my life because he worked hard. I want to say my work ethic. My wife thinks I shouldn't even be here battling this stuff today. Just, you know, Hal, why don't you take a rest? Well, I can't. You know, unless I'm really sick, you know, I'll show up in life or anything else. My dad was that way. We grew up on a farm. You know, he's just a worker. I mean, you can't take a break on a farm 7 days a week, 24/7. Maybe on Sunday you just milk the cows in the morning and evening. But that's the way I'm wired. But my dad had a unique love for this study of Scripture, which I think is part of what drove me to end up at Dallas Seminary. I wish a million times that I could talk to my dad about spiritual things, mm-hmm, about the Scriptures, but we'll have to wait to heaven to reflect on that together. Mm-hmm. My mother was a person who invested her life. So I said, a good name, Walter Habecker, Francis Habecker, and the day of one, their death is the better than the day of one's birth. The day of your birth, you have no idea. what your kids are going to be, what your grandkids are going to be. Day of one's death, for all these reasons, makes all the difference in the world. It's really an awesome truth to live by in every sense of the word. I mean, you create a legacy. A legacy is something intangible, but yet it impacts all those around you. Any thoughts on it before we go to the next slide? A couple of scriptures here. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves and inherits to his children's children. That's your grandparents, grandkids. A sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. I mean, this out of Ecclesiastes, you know, all the sinner's wealth in the world will eventually go to God because he owns it all. And they don't realize that. But I don't think he's talking about, well, what's the inheritance you leave? You can read it. So a good man leaves a legacy to his children's children. So that, I mean, you want to do that with your adult kids, but the text here says you really do it with your grandkids. And I think we have a dual role in leaving a legacy. We have a dual role in built into our adult kids' lives, and we have another role building into our grandkids' lives. That's our mission, and that is the legacy we will leave with others when we're all finished. I think I have a couple other scriptures here. I love this one. This is crazy. This is Jehoram. You can look it up sometime. He was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And watch this. He departed with no one's regret. It's the most tragic memorial in the Bible. They buried him in the city of David, but not in the tomb of kings. He was a wicked guy. But that little phrase, he's buried with no one's regret. I mean, that's the opposite of leaving a legacy. Now, just for a moment, I don't know if you know anybody like this, but is this being recorded, Max?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's okay. I have a brother who hates his father. He is 71. And he feels this way about my dad, our dad. It's one of the hardest things in my life to realize. But there are people whose families are broken up today in a lot of ways, and you probably know many of them, where, I mean, the adult kids will not even let their parents intersect with their grandkids. I know people like that, personally. I know people where the brokenness in the family system is horrendous. And only God could put it back together if they wanted. And you may know people like that. And there's another thing that makes this hard as well. Many, I know you're this case, in many cases, grandkids make decisions that are just the opposite of what their grandparents would wish. I'm teaching a Bible study at a senior living facility here on Tuesday nights. And the question, we're going through Hebrews, and the question was raised, you know, my grandson made a decision for Christ when he was young, and he walked away from it. You know, it agonizes me. What do I do? I mean, you get into this idea of legacy, and Lalani, what you're interested in, you want to cover everything in your life as well as you possibly can in prayer and whatever it is to be vital and influential, because that's your legacy. Now, whether my brother will wake up sometime spiritually, I don't know. I pray that he will. But this is what we're living for. And part of my deal in legacy, what's my legacy with my siblings and my family? I mean, you don't want to just think of this. You mentioned Ross. I mean, our lives impact others, not just our family. I mean, you think of people. What is the impact of their lives? You know, some people think of legacy as financial or material. I don't think the scriptures think about that at all. That is a part of it. But you want to leave a legacy in your life. Heavens, don't you? What does legacy mean? And you may want to add to this, but a couple things I've put down on there. Making an impact that will last if you're gone. Now, Max, you and Laura are young. I mean, you're 1,000 years away from the end of your life. Although, you never know. I mean, God can interrupt us anytime. But you think about that. What do you want the impact of your life to be? Do you have any kids yet? Okay. Well, when they come into your world, you have to ask a question. I mean, you're so caught up in the joy of having kids. But what do you want the impact of your life to mean after you're gone? Passing on your values to the next generation. Not physical, but rather a deposit in your heart, which gives them a life advantage. You know, how I live my life today, I have three kids. One lives in California with four kids. I have a second one who goes to church here. I don't know if you any know, I've ever ran into her. Her name is Bethany Edmondson. In fact, she's a nurse. She's an ER nurse at Baylor. She's on the volunteer healthcare staff or whatever here at Watermark. She and her husband and her two kids go here. And then we have a son who's single. They're 45, 44, and 41. And I think about a lot about this. What's the impact of my life on them? How do I create it? What do I think about it? One can leave a good legacy, a bad legacy, or just, that would be a neutral legacy. You know, it's up to you. I mean, really. And you think about this. A couple other scriptures, and then I want to reflect a little bit. You know, if you live a life of legacy, what's the impact of your life? If you follow Jesus, I love this, and I can see it personally in my life. Mark 10, Peter, can you all read that in the back? It's a little tiny. Peter began to say to him, "See, we've left everything and follow you." He's intentional about his life as a younger man. I think the disciples were all maybe in their early 20s at the best. They could have been even in their latter teens, 18, 19, 20, somewhere that age. "See, we've left everything." Peter had a family, so he was married at that time. We don't know anyone who has kids, but "See, we've left everything and follow you." Jesus, think about this. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there's no one who has," and I'm just going to say, intentionally lived his or her life for Christ in every sense of the word. "There's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or land for my sake and for the gospel." That's what we're here for, is it not? Jesus said, "If any man wishes to follow me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. And many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." I think about that in my own life. I could have never dreamt what God would do in my life. And it's not just because I've been a leader in a whole bunch of realms. I mean, I think of my dad and mom. I mean, they had a real impact in their community, in their local churches that we were a part of. A powerful impact. I followed Jesus, and 50 years in Dallas, I mean, just being here this morning, who would have ever dreamt that God would bring me here to just encourage and be a part of your lives? You don't know what God's going to do. We have in our mission in Finishing Well Ministries, we have what we call the 7 essentials for finishing well. In Legacy, they've gone over these here at Watermark. But the 5th essential is being open to whatever God's going to do in your life. Well, you follow Him. Peter and the disciples never had any idea what God would do in their lives. And even you and I don't the rest of our lives. Lonnie, if you live for another 30 years, you'll be 92. What can you dream of what God will do in your life to strengthen your legacy if you follow Him intentionally? Now, if you follow the retirement mentality and just kind of go along with the crowd, do whatever you want to do, the legacy is not the same. You see that in that verse? I have one more. Yeah, that's not Psalm 90. It should be Psalm 71. So change it in your night. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth. So I would say, when I was six or my teenage years, God, you have taught me from my youth. And I still, to this day, 74, declare your wondrous deeds. You know, I might say the biggest legacy you pass on is whatever God's doing in your life. Right up to your day of death, Lalani. I mean, what do you want? Howard Hendricks, you say at Dallas Seminary, last words are lasting words. What do you want your legacy to be? You taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, oh God, don't forsake me. The challenge of aging is you begin to think you don't matter. And society doesn't care for you a whole lot. It's called the graying of America. But you know, in the next 50 years, the population of everybody over 65 will double in this country. And my vision is if every old gray-haired person who is a Christian would catch a vision for God's work in their lives, who knows what could happen. But don't feel isolated. God wants to use you. I would argue using my mother in the last 2 years of her life where she was really bedridden, I think he used her as much in those 2 years as he ever did in everything she ever did in her life. Excuse me. She did a lot. You know, people who listen to this will wonder, what is going on in this voice? Don't forsake me until, as an aging person, you proclaim your might to another generation and your power to all who are to come. So you're talking about your adult kids, your grandkids, and it makes all the difference in the world. You with me on that? And I think I turned next to my outline. Let me ask a question first before you even do this. What's it make you think about? We talked about this. How do you make a legacy come alive? How do you communicate it? Well, let's say, here, I'm going to put a different
through
color.
Through your actions.
Through your actions. So, what are you doing? Let's just start out with your adult kids. What do you do with your adult kids? I mean, what kind of actions would impact their life?
I think trying to stay faithful to, you know, my quiet time and my study, and then sharing with them what I'm learning.
Okay, sharing with them. How does that happen?
Well, for my quiet time, I may have a thought, like I've been looking at Deuteronomy 7, 21, 22, and it talks about we're not to be afraid of the people when we walk into the land, but little by little, God will take care of it, you know. So, but that's a short
story. So you want to stay faithful in your own personal life,
yes,
and they can watch that.
And they can communicate, and I can communicate it to them.
How do you communicate to them?
I tell them. I just tell them.
So, you know, I mean, how often do you see them? Where do they live?
Close.
So you're with them every week, every...
Correct, yeah, two of my children and grandchildren, they go to my church. And then the other one's only 15 miles away. No, we go to a church in... We used to go here, but we go to a church in... that my son pastors.
Oh, really?
In Capel. It's a small church. So that, you know, just making sure that as he's pastor, that I try to speak words of encouragement from Scripture to him. Not what the world wants to see. You know, and I've always tried really hard with my family to, when they tell me about what's going on in their lives, that I speak to them only the words of Scripture, the truth. You know, oftentimes I have to paraphrase it and say, well, yes, I really would like to go beat that person up, but that's not God's word. That's not God's way. That's not His purpose for you. They need to know that you're faithful to Christ and that you love them. And so it's that kind of things.
So my experience... Yeah, you know, okay. Kind of in the middle, I'm 45. So my experience, both my dad passed away a couple years ago during COVID, and my father-in-law just passed away like 4 weeks ago. It's just being present and asking questions, listening.
Mm-hmm,
it's kind of active listening where it's, you know, do that with anybody. It's just like, man, how's your day doing?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what it was challenging. My relationship with my dad, it was like him, he was always saying like, hey, you need to do this, or this is what's going on with me. But it's like, man, how are you doing with your kids? I have young kids. Where are you at? Where do you need help? How can I pray for you? And that was
awesome.
Missed. Yeah. And it was missed. So that's what my legacy is trying to change that. You know.
That's really good. John?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
Go ahead, honey. I was thinking, I think it kind of changes when you get to having adult children, transitioning from being directive to being supportive.
Yes, yes.
You can't tell them what to do when they're adults, but you can support them. You know, like you're saying, share scriptures that encourage them, or how can I pray for you? And then, you know, just share from your own experience, but just show support. And, you know, make it scripturally based. You know, and constantly praising God or giving God, you know, the credit, the glory, and the hope, you know, hope in a situation.
That's Psalm 71. How do you communicate the power of God in your life to them?
Yes.
Somebody else? Yes.
So I'm 27, obviously I don't have any adult kids, but...
You're the youngest guy here, I bet.
But for
except for Max and Laura.
My parents and grandparents and my wife's grandparents, I think some of the things that shows their life is filled with Christ is that they find their joy in the Lord as they're aging physically, meaning that as they continue to have issues as they age, they're not finding reasons to complain, reasons to dislike life. Instead, they're finding joy in the Lord, joy in sharing the gospel and loving those around them.
Yeah, you don't want to become that bitter, grumpy old person.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, I'll put you in the spot, Corey.
Sure.
Do you ask them questions about that? I mean, your dad, your grandparents, I encourage you to say, tell me how you feel as you're going through all this. Tell me what God is teaching you, to have that kind of give and take with them.
Yeah, my grandfather always says, getting old ain't for wussies. But, I mean, he's, you know.
How old is he?
He just turned 80. But my wife's grandfather is 89. He's in a wheelchair, full-time catheter, in an assisted living. And he is got his own ministry and his little sister.
Wow.
There's his helpers come from all over the world to go work there, and he's sharing the gospel with them day in and day out. And so it's cool because I see him in pain every time I see him. He's always struggling and, you know, having a hard time. But people come in and they like him. You know,
we should have him come in and talk about like.
I mean, absolutely. Yeah.
By the way, parenthetically, I think that's critically important, Max, Laura, young people. You may start with your family, if your parents, grandparents, and or great-grandparents, you know, find older people and listen to them. Make them a part of your life. You know, even here at this church, I mean, one of the things I like to talk about is multi-generational stuff. Pam and I talk about this. Everybody know Pam Rittenberry back there? She's a part of the legacy ministry here at Watermark. And I think one of the best things that can happen in a church, it happens in a family. Just parenthetically, you know, God always works in a three-generational format somewhat. Abraham, who is his son. Isaac, who is his grandson. Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, you start working through this, you have it even with David, Solomon, and Rehoboam, who is Solomon's son, and the kingdom divides. You see the family fracture. You always work in three. Yeah, most of us know our parents and or our grandparents. And as our grandparents fade and die, I mean, do you have any kids?
I've got a one-year-old.
So you got four generations right there.
Yep.
You got your kids' generation, you got your generation, you got your parents' generation, and you got your grandparents' organization. Mm-hmm. Grandparents, they're in God's organization. So you got four generations who influence each other.
So then my
question to the church is, I'll bet you have maybe six generations in Watermark.
Yes.
Although the fifth and sixth generations are disappearing. They'll disappear quickly in any community. So if I were a church leader, I'd want to say, how can these four generations interact? Because the legacy of older people will impact younger people more than anything else in life. Your parents and your grandparents. I have to tell you a short story. I don't do this often, but I just feel led to do it. On this point, I have a little card here. This comes from a physician in that doctor's class I began to teach back in the 70s. One afternoon, he called me and said, "Hal, I want you to come to my wood shop." He was an orthopedic surgeon in Dallas. And orthopedic surgeons are not supposed to have wood shops. As you cut your fingers or whatever, your profession's gone. He calls me over. He pulls out of his wallet a little shred of yellowed paper. And on it, he had written in his own handwriting, out of the King James, "But whoever wishes to be great among you, let him be your minister. And whoever wishes to be chief among you, let him be your servant." Matthew 20, 26, and 27. He said, "Hal, I want to give you this. But before I give it to you, I want to do something. I want to make a copy of it." By the way, Dr. Ware carried his wallet all through medical school. He was on D-Day. He survived his whole career. And this is what marked his life. He said, "I want to make a copy for myself. And then I want you to have a copy." So a couple weeks later, I went back and he had them both copied in there in this little laminated deal. And he says, "Hal, I want you to have the original. And I'm going to carry the copy." I mean, you talk about an investment of a legacy in a person's life. And, you know, this is what, you know, I saw him Sunday morning, maybe once or twice a month elsewhere. But he left an impact on life, and then he died. I was flying somewhere. Came home and my wife told me Dr. Ware died this afternoon. So I went down to his house. Oh, and I missed the part of it. We were celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary, and as I went by him, he said, "Hal, a favor to ask you." He reached out and gave you a hug. We always did. He says, "May I have my original back?" So I pulled out my wallet, exchanged it. He carried the original. He said, "I want to keep it the rest of my life." Great. So then he died, and I went down to his home that night. His daughter, his family was there. He had two daughters and a son. I said, "Nancy, his daughter that I knew well, I said, can you get your dad's wallet? I want to show you something." So I found this, and she has the original today, and I still carry this in my wallet. It is a simple example of a legacy that I cannot get away from. So I have the legacy of my parents, my grandparents, have the legacy of the body of Christ who has poured into me in a thousand ways. I have the legacy of my wife who has committed to me. We've been married 48 years. You know, tested in various ways, but I mean, it's a legacy to leave to your kids, to see mom and dad growing every day, like you've said, in their marriage, in their relationship with God, and that's the legacy that really matters. So what else would you say? What else would you add to this?
In addition to all the excellent things, I am really, well, first off, I am one of a few, I'm sure, worldwide that I have this privilege to be in a group like this. To state my mom is 100 in assisted living back in Illinois on her 100th birthday, I witnessed something that I want to broadcast in one-on-one situations and every opportunity I have, Holy Spirit led. But on her 100th birthday, she is, when I walked into her room, she is up, dressed, smile on her face, and had made her bed as best as she was able to do. And it's a testimony to me, which my upbringing, so she did not have a lifestyle of in the Word of God every day, as many of us here in the Blessed Church of Watermark or other wonderful churches, but yet how God is glorifying himself, and it's because I would not have seen that if kind of my main message always is to the extent that my God is high and lifted up and exalted in my heart, as Hebrews 1, for I'm in the privilege of being in the women's Bible study here this year, where we're studying Hebrews, and chapter 1, verse 3 is the key verse of the whole year, that talks about he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power, is how ESV says. So if I didn't pursue fervently, daily, prayerfully, to our children, we have some fracture in our family, but yet I have hope. Like if I didn't have hope, that's the essence of what my existence is about, is to keep a high and lifted up realization so that I can cast a vision in every single conversation, because it does seem like even a lot of born-again believers that walk sometimes fail to have vision for how you look at somebody in a fractured relationship. Oh my goodness, but there's still the next generation there that could impact that fracture. But you have to have vision even for your own young children, preschoolers, toddlers, which another ministry I was part of, we had so many stories of seeing little precious children that would enter into their home, recite, sing, trust and obey, and they would be used by the Lord to bring conversion to a hard-hearted parent or grandparent, you know, whoever it was. But I am so blessed week after week after week here at Watermark Church to hear Jesus Christ saying, high and lifted up, that we all would have a high and lifted up vision for what God is doing.
So, Pam, I know you guys are not really directly connected to the Legacy Ministry here, but you should tell the leadership, you guys ought to go there and share your testimony, because this is what every older person ought to be about. And that is your legacy. And you trust God with the impact of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not your assignment to change people. Mm-hmm. It is our assignment. What does Acts 1:8 says? You be a witness everywhere you go. That's what you're doing, Marianne. That's awesome. Who else? Yes.
I'm not in the age demographic of having adult kids, but I have my own kids, 2 and 1. But my father, I got raised in a Christian household, and one of the things I saw mostly was just his consistency to the faith. When I was a little kid, wake up every morning, and he would shepherd and disciple us by being in his word early in the morning. And that hasn't changed to this day as a grown man. If I go over and visit with my dad, I know where I'll find him. He'll be on the couch reading his Bible. And I think one of the things that really rings true to me is that he never was doing it for the actions of us being able to see what it was that he was doing. He was simply doing it out of the fact that he knew that obedience was more important to the Father than his actions.
Wow.
So that obedience piece is huge. And it's just rang true with me that his consistency over time is not because, it's kind of what Chris talked about last night, of his relationship with his father is more important than his relationship with me as his child. And I always saw that in him. So.
Yeah, that's great. I would encourage you to continue to seek that with your dad and learn from him, and you communicate. You have two kids?
Two kids.
Yeah. Yeah, they grow up fast. That's all I can say. You know, one of the consistent things I hear a bunch of older people is how fast life goes. I mean, where does it go? Ross? Where does it go? It just goes like that. My kids are 45, 44, and 41. I don't believe it. I got a grandson who's 16. I mean, and Vicky and I got married a little bit later in life, and some of you may have grand. I mean, it just goes like that. I'm looking at my life at 74, 84, maybe. I mean, I've had hiccups, I won't last another year. But life goes fast, so make your decisions now and remind yourself of them every day to lift up Jesus. You know, it's not on our website, but I came across a testimony by Johnny Erickson Tata about finishing well. It's a little 2-minute clip. It is absolutely awesome. If you want to go to the internet and find that, you would love that. Pam?
I want to mention too that it's not just what, as an older grandparent or parent, you have to give. It is how they give back to you.
Yes.
Too. I am at Watermark, and Hal, I'm sure this will be. I'm at Watermark because my grandson, who is almost 28, came when he was 21, came to the porch, and then called me at 10:30 at night, which is a no-no because I get up at 5:30. So. After telling me no, he was fine, he said, I went to a church tonight. It's all biblical, authentic, and it's your church. At the time, I was going to a Bible church of 40. But the point is, I started crying. I couldn't stop because I knew that meant he knew my heart for the Lord and what God could possibly have for me. 7 years later, when we had breakfast, he goes, so what's new? What's God doing new? And he knows that I am just involved. And he also knows, he knew that point when Tony about Mark, he said, I'll go with you. So he knew the bigness would not be what I wanted to walk into. Because Bible churches that were small was what I've gone to. But he also knew that God was telling him, this is your grandma's church. That didn't happen by accident.
Wow.
Because he is the son of my daughter, who is a single mom, who has a lot of still working through her issues with, as you were saying, with damage from the background. So my point is that I'm thankful for where he is, but I also learned from him and his wife, who are both engaged believers. And you know, I'll be a great grandmother probably in the next couple of years here, and that boggles my mind. But generationally, my inheritance faith came from my grandmother, my maternal grandmother. She lived it in front of me. So I just want to end it.
That's awesome.
Corey. Oh,
sorry. Oh, okay. Leilani?
I just wanted to add, I'm so full just listening to everyone. But I just wanted to add too, I think part of the action also that in the legacy that we leave is how we respond to things, times of difficulty, yeah. Circumstances. Our children, our grandchildren are watching that, how we live out our integrity. You know, they're watching how we compromise or not compromise our integrity, mm-hmm. and that leaves a legacy. They see that in action.
My grandmother taught me, really demonstrated in front of me, the importance of prayer. She had a prayer rug in her living room, and she prayed on it every day. I mean, we'd be at the grocery store, and she'd be talking to someone in protest, and she'd be like, can I just pray with you? Mm-hmm. And she would just take their hand and pray on them right at the store. I mean, to this day, I will tell people my grandmother is probably the most significant spiritual impact. And my mother is now 74, and it's funny, she's leading a women's Bible study at Lake Point about finishing well and not posting
really?
The rest
really?
Of the way. I just texted her, I'm like, you would love this guy. This is so great. But I just think, like, modeling a life of prayer and dependence on the Lord is so important, because the power of prayer, when you can't change your kids or change your grandchildren or change their behaviors, is just miraculous what the Lord can do through prayer. And she demonstrated consistency in her prayer life and the value of a prayer life, like a really go to the Lord with everything kind of prayer life. I just think that is something you don't always see demonstrated.
Do you do that at all?
A prayer rug?
No, just praying for people.
Oh, I do, not to the way that she does.
She did it.
She did it, but. I do it a lot with my, I have 3 kids, and I have neighbors that I've done that with. But this whole thing is just, I work in marketing. I work in a very liberal, the most liberal kind of company in the world, which God has placed me in. So just thinking about how to integrate, I mean, people know I'm the Christian at the company, which is fine. But it's funny when something happens, they'll be like, hey, I know you pray. Could you pray about this for me? You know, because when things happen in people's lives, yeah. I'll be like, I'm really praying for your daughter. I'm really going to pray. And I don't just say, like, I'm going to, you know, people in Texas, yeah. I'm going to pray for you.
Yeah.
But, like, they know that it's real, you know. And we lost a bunch of business, and I had my small group at Watermark praying. And we kept, every time they prayed, things would happen. And finally someone said, can you have your small group pray about this? Could you go to your small group on this? So it's just.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
What a legacy to live out. And communicate to your kids. You know, one of the things I would add on prayer, I have a discipline in my own life. Well, I pray for my kids and kids. But every time I leave them, I want to put my hands on them and pray for them. Mm-hmm. My adult kids, I want to pray for you as you go out into your home, the world. And have a quick prayer. That's it.
I pray, this is good for parents with younger kids. I have 10, 8, and 3. And I pray in the car on the way to school. Yeah. As we're pulling through the carpool line, it's a great practice because you're just sitting there. But I'm like, I'm going to pray over you. Does anyone want to pray today? Okay, nobody does. I'd love to pray. I'll do the prayer. You know? So, I mean, you can put those little habits in your life, like praying at the carpool drop-off line, but it becomes like they kind of know that we do it every day now.
Yeah. So in 30 years, your kids will be, your oldest will be 40. Mm-hmm. So my prayer would be, my encouragement would be that practice would continue for the next several decades, mm-hmm. because life happens fast.
Mm-hmm. It does.
You know, those are lessons to learn from Old Testament characters. Mm-hmm. You know, what in the world was going on with Isaac and Rebecca? I mean, their marriage got tilted and they had favorites of the two kids. Mm-hmm. And it messed up a lot, but God is sovereign. He always works things out, but He calls us to be faithful. And even when we fail, let's keep trusting Him and get back on track. This is awesome. This is stuff. I've all had my notes when you've covered all. But my dream for Watermark and for any church is that you would develop a system, whether it's personal, like Pam does, or whether it's an organized system of Watermark that would be multi-generation and it would impact. I don't think you can plan everything, but at least everybody who's aging could personally plan to keep impacting younger people in this church. And maybe there's some organizational stuff the leadership can do, but that would be my passion for
this
Watermark.
This conference is a good start.
It is. All the generations are here. Yes.
Al, I'm taking a wrestle whether I need to tell the story or not, but I think I have to. But you may not remember me. 4 years ago, I sat in Randy Marshall's dining room with you, working scribe school, and you did a similar, you know, presentation.
I did. I went.
At the time, I had a girlfriend, and one of the questions you asked was about legacy and who is that ripple in your life, and it was my grandmother, Hallie Bohannon, and I talked about Timothy and the letter that Paul writes to Timothy about the faith I see in you. I first saw your grandmother Lois. I'll start crying if I keep going. But anyway.
Keep going. I want to hear you cry.
4 years later, that girlfriend is now my wife. I have a 22-month-old named Hallie, who's my grandmother.
Wow.
My grandmother, wow. Because of the legacy my grandma instilled in me. And every night I pray with my Hallie, and there's nothing that impacts my faith more than hearing my 22-month-old daughter say amen, you know, after I pray with her.
Wow.
And it's something that I think God just kind of showed me pretty early on that in her first year of life, just how important my presence was, because I travel a fair amount for business, and because of just realizing that there's two things my wife or my daughter associates with me, and it's FaceTime and the garage door. So I quickly pivoted in life, and I said, you know what, I'm gone 2 nights a week now, it's going to be 1 night a week, because this is far more important than my business or any of those types of legacies. This legacy is what's important. So just how the Lord is using just the reality and the gravity of the burden of the legacy that I have for my little girl, and how it's already kind of creating life changes in me. And just anyway, I can go on and on, but it's just crazy. I'm sitting here like listening to this, I'm like, God, 4 years ago I was sitting in a room with this guy and I had a girlfriend, no kids, and just how God has already kind of showing me how important this little thing is, and just really the responsibility he's given me in her life to mold her and kind of point her towards the Lord, just like my grandmother did so many years ago. So,
God, I love you. Remind me of your name.
Yeah. It's Tom O'Hannon. Yeah.
Todd.
Yeah, Tom. Yeah. Tom.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I know John. Anyway,
yeah.
We can catch up afterwards.
Small world.
Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah, so.
But an example.
Yeah.
It is.
It is. I'm like, this is just crazy. Because when I walked in here, I did not put the pieces together. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
I know
so,
that.
Yeah. Your name sounded familiar, but it didn't connect.
Okay, until we started.
I was like, this is weird.
I know this guy.
So, yeah.
Let me tell you another weird thing. Like, I have friends, I'm old enough. You know, I've married a lot of people, performed their weddings. Young couple I've married, they named their first daughter after me.
Oh.
Now that's, and it's Hallie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they didn't want to call her Hal, so they called her Hallie. I mean, that's absurd. Why would anybody name their kid after a random person?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's just fun to see God work. And I commit, I want to be present. One of my big challenges, how do I be present with four kids, grandkids in California?
Yeah.
And my daughter and her husband, my son-in-law. Mm-hmm. You know, I use the phone, I write a text, I use emails, but I don't want to be present physically, but how do you be present a long distance? Mm-hmm. It's a real challenge. Mm-hmm. That's one of my prayers, yes.
I think one of the things too, growing older, is how many times I see that my children have surpassed me in their faith. And that's always been my goal. I want my kids to be at certain ages far beyond where I was, you know, at 30. You know, here they are at 30, and they're just leagues ahead of me spiritually. But one of the things that all the grandkids on both sides of my husband's family and my family, grandmother, the oldest grandmother, was not doing well and very discouraged. And so all the grandkids would have been like 20 through 30, 12 or 13 of them, did a recording of all of the Psalms, reading all of the Psalms, different portions that was assigned to them, so that she could, whenever she got discouraged, she could put that CD in and listen to her grandchildren doing Psalms. And then some of them were singers, so they'd also sing a song in addition, so she had this CD, and I thought, talk about some great grandkids and kids. I mean,
that
it's
is
just,
awesome.
You just see them surpass you. And then for me, it's to recognize that to them. It's like, you got to understand that God's doing amazing things, and just continue to encourage them that I know you're discouraged, your kids are driving you nuts, you don't get much sleep, but you're wonderful. God's doing amazing things.
I hope you're all taking notes.
Yeah.
This is fabulous. Yes.
I just feel like to share that my grandmother, I like to. 108, and was amazing in the matriarch of her family, and just constantly was repeating the 23rd Psalm during her last years, and did amazing. But it's obvious that I'm a grandparent now, but everybody's speaking about the impact their grandparents have on them, and I'm a grandparent now. Mm-hmm. And it should seem obvious to me that that's the impact that I'm making on my grandkids' lives now, that I want to have that same positive impact that everybody's spoken about today.
It's hard to stay creative when you've got several different grandchildren with several different personalities. My oldest grandson, he's 9, and it means the world to him. Every time I see him, I say, you know what? And he goes, yeah, Grandma, I know what. You love me, but Jesus loves me a whole lot more. And so that every time I see him, that's back and forth. Now, that doesn't, the other kids don't like that. I mean, so trying to find points of connection with them.
That's a challenge.
Yes, yes. I don't know how to do that. Yeah.
Corey, you're 27. I was about 27 when that doctor gave me that little card.
Wow.
So my prayer for you is that older people would continue to pour into your life as a young dad, a young husband, dad. I'm going to end with a scripture. We get to close at 10. One of my favorite characters that illustrates the power of a legacy and a life well lived is Joseph. You see it at the end of Genesis chapter 50. I'm going to read it. Now Joseph stayed in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived to 110 years. 2 years behind your grandmother. By the way, he spent the last 60 years with his father Jacob when the famine was ended and he moved his family down there. But now watch this. Joseph saw the third generation of Ephraim's sons. So his son and three more generations. He was living. And he said to his brothers, now think about legacy here. I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on earth, oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There you see three generations. Now the Israelites would remain in Egypt under severe bondage for another 400 years. And then he says in verse 25, and Joseph made sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you. He didn't know it would be 400 years. And you shall carry my bones up from there. So Joseph died at the age of 110. He was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. And the book of Joshua says, all those years later, 400 plus, they carried his body around the wilderness, and he was buried in Shechem. Now, you talk about the legacy of a life that's tested. I mean, from his earliest years, Joseph was a young man, and he followed God every day. He was intentional, spiritually, emotionally, every part of his life, and he suffered deeply for it. But in the end, 110 years, you think of the legacy of his life. And they carried his, after 400 years, they carried his body around in the wilderness. And I think the younger generation there was probably inspired by Joseph's bones. You know, the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 11, Abel, even though he is dead, still speaks. So the legacy of your grandparents, great-grandparents, I mean, whatever it is, and your legacy of your impact multi-generationally in this church, you don't have no idea what God will do. But be open and pursue his purpose in your life. And I would say, and all of God's people said,
amen.
We're about out of time. I'll let you go. I'm going to pray. Lord, bless us. Bless our faithfulness to you. Mm-hmm. Keep us alert with every day that comes to our adult kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, and others in this church and in our lives you place around us every day. Help us to be what the Spirit wants us to be in Acts 1:8. You shall be a witness for Christ everywhere you go. So bless the senior generation in Watermark. To that end, bless each person in this room, whether younger or older. We pray in Jesus' name.